Well, good morning, and it's great to be here with you all again this morning. In our modern digital culture, we are constantly bombarded with so many voices clamouring for our attention. There's a lot of fake news and false information out there, but more particularly, since the outbreak of this pandemic, we have also heard voices trying to make sense of what's happening. Some have said that this is Armageddon, it's the end times heralding the second coming of Jesus. Other voices have said this is God punishing us for our wickedness. And then we've had the voice of reason saying, no, God doesn't work like that. God is grieving over the suffering as much as we are, but he's in control and he knows what he's doing. And then I read an article in a Christian magazine where someone was saying, God is not in control. How can you possibly say he's in control with all these terrible things happening around us? That's not the kind of God that I want to believe in. Well, I could go on. There are more. But in the midst of all this confusion and conflicting ideas, whose voice are we listening to? Well, let's turn to the Word of God in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, which we've heard this morning. Last year, back in lockdown, three of my Christian cousins and I joined together to do a joint Bible study remotely by email, just to test out a method of doing it remotely for people that can't access Zoom. During the course of that study, obviously we were looking at this passage from Mark's Gospel, one of my cousins commented, there are three voices in this passage. Well, just from that one comment, I'd like us to look for a few minutes at these three voices in this chapter and just see what they were saying back then and what they're saying to us today. And is it relevant? Do we need to listen? Well, my answer is yes, we do. When writing his gospel, Mark doesn't bother with the Christmas story or any of the early part of Jesus' life. He comes straight in with the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. He jumps straight in at the point where Jesus is about to begin his ministry. He is at pains to tell us that this Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the one who was to come. And he does that right here, right at the beginning of his gospel, through these three voices. And really, all three of them are saying the same thing. This is the Holy Son of God. So first of all, the voice of Isaiah, the voice of hope and certainty from Isaiah and, of course, from the other Old Testament prophets. A voice of hope for the immediate need of the people back then, and the voice of hope for the future. Isaiah gave the people hope in their immediate need, in their exile. He said that their exile would end. It ain't gonna be like this forever. Things are gonna change. The exile will end. You will go back to your homeland rejoicing. They had hope for their immediate need. In the same way, we have hope in our immediate need in this pandemic through the vaccines. Now, those voices out there will tell you it is science that will get us out of this mess. And they're right. Yes, it will. But we believe that it's God who is behind the science. And so we look to him to deliver us through the science of the vaccines. We have hope in our immediate need, just as the people in Isaiah's day. But of course, Isaiah was talking about a much bigger hope, a day when a redeemer would come to save his people, not from slavery out of Egypt, not from exile, not from a virus, but from a deadly pandemic of human sin that grips us all. He would come to save us from ourselves. All Mark does is to mention the name of Isaiah. And he knows from that it would just conjure up in our minds all the Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah, all the details that were given over so many years so that people would recognize him when he came. Mark goes straight to the one big point that Isaiah made that would just tell people that the time was imminent. There will be a voice in the wilderness crying, prepare the way of the Lord. So says Mark, here are all the prophecies about the coming Messiah, saying he's coming. Here is the sign that Isaiah spoke about, the voice crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist. And he said, it's Jesus. Jesus is that Messiah. He's here. So we have the voice of the prophets with that hope, not just hope, but a certain hope. Hope for our immediate need, hope for the future. So let's now turn, we're told that well over 80% of the prophecies in the Bible have already been fulfilled. We can trust in God to fulfill the remaining prophecies. More about that in just a minute. So let's turn to our second voice, John the Baptist. John grew up full of the Holy Spirit, showing him who he was and what his mission in life was. And when the time was right, John went out into the wilderness and started to preach. His message was unequivocal. Prepare the way of the Lord. The one who is coming amongst you is so holy, the promised Messiah, the Son of God. I am not worthy even to undo his sandals. You need to prepare yourselves for him to come. You need to repent and to be baptized. And the people flocked to him, led by the Spirit, and they repented and they were baptized. So what's that message saying to us today in our post-resurrection era? We know that Jesus is the Messiah, that he came, he lived, he died, he rose again and is alive today. What is this message of preparing the way of the Lord today? Incidentally, and this is almost just as an aside, we've been given time until September to prepare the way for a new pastor to come into our fellowship and a new thing that God might want to do in the life and the history of this church. How are we preparing the way for that new pastor to come? We might even ask Chris if he's got any ideas about that, any thoughts about it. But I just want to leave that with you as a little thought to take away with you and to think about in the days ahead. How are we preparing for that new pastor to come? That aside, the prophecy is, we are living in this era now between the first coming of Jesus and the second coming. We can see, looking back, that there are many prophecies that have not yet been fulfilled. But as I said, we can trust in God to fulfill them. They talk about the second coming of Jesus. And here we are living in this bit between the first coming and the second coming. So the call to us today is to prepare the way for that second coming of Jesus, which is precisely what the church has been doing for 2,000 years, following the Great Commission to go out into all the world, to make disciples of all nations, to be the church in the community, to bring God's kingdom here on earth. Do this in remembrance of me until I come again. Have we got complacent about it? It hasn't happened for 2,000 years. It's not going to happen in my lifetime. Well, maybe the virus has woken us up. But have we lost that sense of urgency that comes over so much in Mark's gospel? Have we lost that sense of urgency of Jesus coming? I wonder if we've also lost something else. Let me just try and explain. Jesus today is risen, ascended, glorified, majestic. We cannot imagine the majesty and the glory that is his now. As our first song this morning reminded us, we cannot get our heads round the fact that he left all of that majesty and that glory to come to this earth and to become so small and so helpless. But now, he is the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus. And it is in that glory and that majesty that he will come back. How can we prepare for that? That second coming has often been referred to as the great rapture. But someone once pointed out, for so many, it will be more like the great rupture, because we are so not ready for it. How do we prepare for that majesty and that glory? But you see, at the same time, it is this same Jesus who is right here with us in the here and now, our closest friend, closer than a breath away. He is the one who absolutely delights in those little arrow prayers that we shoot up to him in the heat of the moment, in the emergency. Of course he does. He is the one who delights to see his people coming into church with all that happy buzz of chatter and warm, welcoming meet and greet, because we're so delighted to be there in church together when the church is open, and how we long for that again. He invites us to come just as we are, with no false pretense, no insincerity, to come just as we are before him. How do we reconcile these two things? How do we balance them? How do we accept that he is calling us just as we are, and he's so close to us, and balance that with the awe and the reverence and the respect that he deserves? Maybe especially when we come into God's house, when we believe that God is present with us in a very special way. Is it even more hard now, when the church is open, that we come back in and there's so much distraction with hand sanitizing and tick-off lists and masks and social distancing? Is it hard to remember that we are coming into his house and into his presence? Have we any idea whose presence we're coming into? Is it hard at the moment when we're confined to our homes and our worship space is our kitchen, which is where I am now, or our living room, with all the distractions around us? How do we prepare ourselves to make a holy space? You see, Jesus is with us all the time, everywhere. There's no time nor place when he's not there. But it's us that don't always recognize that his presence is there. We have to consciously come into his presence. How do we prepare for that? Well, one lady I heard about solved that one. She wrote out a notice saying, "Divine worship carried out here 3 times a day, and she put it above her kitchen sink. Practicing the presence of Christ so that all life becomes worship, and I come just as I am, my whole life an offering," as the song has put it. You see, the more we see Jesus as he really is, the more we see ourselves as we really are, with all our tremendous need of him to change us. Just like the tadpole and the caterpillar in John's lovely song this morning, who were changed into something much more glorious. Zacchaeus, who was so transformed by being in the presence of Jesus. So he wants to change us, and it's as we see him as he really is that we're really preparing the way for him to come into our lives and to change us. And it is then that we're ready to prepare the way of the Lord in the world. And this is where we need to hear the other voice of the prophets, not just the voice of hope, but a voice of warning, a warning against those people who live in complete disobedience and ignorance of God. I'm sorry, I've just completely lost myself. exactly so, because we don't like talking about the judgment of God and his fierce anger against all things evil. We'd far rather talk about his love and his compassion and his grace. But we need to see both sides of God's character if we are to have a true picture of who God is, and to see his fierce anger against evil, and especially when it causes suffering, and we see his compassion and his love expressed in anger against the evil that causes that suffering. The prophets are very clear about it. But who shall abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire. There is a judgment. Every one of us will have to stand one day before a holy God and give an account of ourselves. Thank God that those of us who know the Lord Jesus as our Savior know that he is at our side as our advocate and our friend, the one who has paid the price in full for all our wrongdoing. And we know that our salvation is assured. But what about those who don't know that? Do you remember that minister who came a couple of years ago now? And he gave us a very different view of the story of Noah's Ark, looking not at those inside the ark, but those outside of it. Noah's friends and neighbors and relatives, and the terrible destruction that came upon them. Does that not change our perspective and give us a passion for the lost and a passion for those who don't even know that they need a savior? Our hearts break when we see the suffering all around us at the moment. And no, I'm not saying this COVID is the judgment of God. I'm not yet convinced that that's what it is. I'm saying our hearts break as we see the suffering around us. Our hearts should break to see people going through this without God and without hope. Hence our desire to run an Alpha course or something similar, because now more than ever, we need to reach out to people with hope, real hope, hope beyond the vaccines, hope for eternity, while there is still time, because one day Jesus will come back, ready or not. Do we want it to be a rapture or a rupture? Prepare the way of the Lord, says John, coming back to our text. And while he was yet speaking, there was Jesus in the midst wanting to be baptized. And we come to our third voice, the voice of God. We see here the Trinity in action, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus comes up out of the water. He sees the dove descending on him, the Spirit like a dove, and he hears the voice from heaven. In this gospel, the voice says, "You are my beloved Son." In Matthew's gospel, it is, "This is my Son," addressing the people around him as well as Jesus himself. Either way, this is my Son, the one I love, in whom I am well pleased. Is that the biggest understatement ever? Here we are back to the human Jesus, the earthly Jesus. And within the limitations of that absolute humanity, would Jesus see the mission that God had for him? Would he go through with it? After 30 years of silence, Jesus steps forward in this crucial moment and commits himself. He bows the knee before his Father and submits himself in this baptism of absolute, sheer, humble obedience and submits himself to do it God's way. Yes, he will still have to go through the temptations in the wilderness and the anguish of Gethsemane, but here he nails his colours to the mast, knowing that it will one day lead to him being nailed to a tree. Even though he sees the glory beyond it, he sets his face towards Jerusalem and the cross. God sees way beyond that, to that moment when every knee will bow before Jesus and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And God rejoices, so much so that he bursts out of heaven. I love the way the version that Caroline read says, heaven was torn apart as God bursts out of heaven into the human world with a human voice. This is my son. This is the fulfillment of all the prophecies, including John the Baptist. This is the culmination of all my entire plan and purpose for the whole of mankind. This is the one. The end is now certain. There is no other name under heaven by whom men are saved. In whom I am well pleased. What a reassurance to Jesus, the human Jesus, that he was on the right track. What an affirmation to us. What other affirmation do we need than the voice of God telling us this is the way, this is the one to whom to point the world? Fast forward to the Mount of Transfiguration, the high point on the way to the cross, when God does exactly the same thing again, with almost exactly the same words, only this time he adds an extra one. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. We've come full circle. We started off, whose voice are you listening to? God says, listen to him. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God has spoken to us in many ways through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us through his Son. Listen to him. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. Listen to him, who is the way, the truth, and the life. If we want the truth about the end times, the second coming, anything else, look at his teachings about it in God's word. If we want a mantra for living, look at the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes that Michael is bringing to us. If we are confused by the voices out there who are telling us all sorts of things, test it against the teachings of Jesus, and if it doesn't stack up, silence it, as the president of the Baptist Union said only last week. If we want wisdom in these perplexing times, if most of all in these troubled times we want peace of mind and heart, turn to the one who walked on water above the storm, not always stopping the storm, but always there with his people in it. Turn to the one who said, in all honesty, in the world you will have tribulation. We really will, and we shouldn't be surprised about it. But be of good cheer, he says. I have overcome the world. As we listen to him, abide in his real presence. Follow him above the turmoil of this world. Then we too will overcome all the way through until that day when we will see him face to face. And then everything will make sense. Let's pray together. None other lamb, none other name, none other hope in earth or sky or sea, none other hiding place from sin and shame, none beside thee. Lord Jesus, our living hope in this life and through to eternity, we humbly bow before you this morning to submit ourselves to you afresh. So dwell in our hearts by your Spirit, we pray, that we may be your church, speaking out to prepare the way of the Lord in our day, in our troubled world, that people might turn to you as their living hope. May we hear and listen to your voice above all others and follow you all the days of our lives for your glory and in your presence and in your precious name we pray. Amen.